Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They only lost 2 in a row twice in the regular season. They have yet to lose back-to-back games in this playoff run. The NBA Finals are tied at 1 game apiece.
Mike Breen on the call last night. Oklahoma City evens up the series. But did you read or hear about how game one on Thursday night was stolen from the Thunder before Tyrese Halliburton made that game-winning shot? I'll explain coming up here in the opening segment. Good morning, everybody. Mandatory minicamp this week. Still no news, no real news on a contract extension for Terry. Ben will join us later on in the show at 12. Lots of what I would refer to as clickbait trade talk for Terry. Have you seen some of the different, you know, Bleacher Report and some of those other sites putting out, oh, here's a possibility. This from Tim Z. My guy Tim Z writes, Kevin, please tell me they're not going to trade Terry McLaurin because they're unwilling to pay him. No, Tim Z, they're not trading Terry McLaurin. Come on, man. Anything's possible. I mean, we don't know this new group very well. We certainly don't know anything about this new group related to how they'll treat veteran players that are due contract extensions. I mean, the first one that was sort of due a contract extension was Sam Cosmi. They took care of him. He's a much younger player. John Allen, they decided to trade. Yes, I would not put John in the same category as Terry McLaurin. We do know from Adam Peters' history in San Francisco that they do wait these things out. These things happen later on in the summer, sometimes even after training camp starts. So there is some knowledge from how it was handled in San Francisco, even though Adam Peters was not the general manager, you know, in San Francisco. But he was a part of a team and learned from a team that may be something that he's carrying into the situation here. So we'll see. I'm not anywhere near different than I was on Friday or Thursday, and that is on June 9th, I have zero reason to be legitimately concerned about Terry McLaurin, whatever the reports are out there, not getting a deal done, playing his final year of his contract without an extension, or being traded. You know, between now and the time he signs a contract extension or the regular season begins, the only report that would matter other than something definitive is if Terry actually requested a trade. That would be a blockbuster. We have not had that as of yet. This from Evan. Kevin, you forgot the 83 Skins on the list of teams that are better than Saquon Barkley's 2024 Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah, I mean, the 83 Skins are such an interesting team. You know, the plus 42 turnover margin, you know, all-time record. Nothing's even close to it. An offense that set the record in 1983 for the most points ever in a season. They were virtually unstoppable in 83 offensively. They lost the Super Bowl, though, and they lost it in resounding fashion. I mean, they got absolutely handled by the LA Raiders. You know, Marcus Allen didn't play in the first game in the regular season against Washington, a game in which Washington won at RFK 37-35, one of the great regular season games in franchise history. Michael Haynes had not been traded for at that point. Michael Haynes is certainly in the conversation of the top three, four, five corners of all time. They had not traded for him, and the Raiders were a different team by the time Washington got to them in the Super Bowl in Tampa, and the game was really not competitive. From rocket screen on, it was a blowout, and they just were the better team. And Washington that year defensively, although they created a lot of takeaways, and they ended up on, again, plus 42. Can you imagine seeing plus 42 at the end of even a 17-game season in terms of turnover margin? Unprecedented. Nobody's ever been close to what Washington's 83 team did. But they weren't good defensively. They got torched defensively. That's why their secondary was called the Pearl Harbor Crew, because they gave up bomb after bomb. Teams scored a lot of points against the 83 Skins. Now, they made up for it by making big plays, and that definitely counts for something. There's no doubt about it. You know, that team went 14-2 during the regular season, had 2 1-point losses. They had a 31-30 opening night loss on Monday Night Football at home against the Cowboys, a game, by the way, that they led big at halftime. And then they had a 48-47 Monday Night Football loss at Lambeau against Lynn Dickey and the Green Bay Packers, where Mark Mosley, by the way, missed a 39-yard field goal at the gun that would have won the game. 50-48. That was the highest scoring Monday night game of all time until that game, I don't know, 6 years ago now, between the Rams and the Chiefs, that ended up, I think, 54-51 on Monday Night Football. So there is that. You know, the team, unstoppable offensively throughout the 83 season, set the scoring record, only had two losses by a combined 2 points. But they got manhandled in the Super Bowl, and they just weren't a consistent, like, slow the other team down defense. They gave up a lot of yards and a lot of points, but they created a lot of turnovers. Yeah, Evan, I think the 83 Skins, for me, on the list of the greatest Skins teams of all time, that's number two for me. 91's one, 83 is two. And it's because, God, they were unstoppable. Theismann was the MVP of the league, throwing to Monk, throwing to Charlie Brown, having the, you know, Riggins set the NFL season mark for 24 rushing touchdowns. No one had ever done that, not Jim Brown, not Walter Payton. The Hogs were dominant. They had guys like Nick Giaquinto coming out of the backfield, Joe Washington, obviously. They were just completely unstoppable. Like, every game was just an up and down the field scoring fest, but they gave up just as much as they got in a lot of those games as well. But I would put the 83 Skins probably ahead of what the 2024 Eagles were, but just barely. It's a tough call, because it's hard to put teams that didn't win at all in front of a team that not only won it all, like Philadelphia did last year, but won it the way they won it, which was with arguably the most dominating defensive performance in Super Bowl history. But for me, it's 91 Skins followed by the 83 Skins. Then we can have a debate, 82, 72, 87, in terms of the next best team. The 91 team, sorry, to, you know, Doc and Jake and Riggo and Joe T, because 82 and 83 were awesome. You know, two NFC championship seasons, two Super Bowl trips, and a Lombardi trophy in 82. The 91 team is easily the most complete Redskin team of all time, and it'll go down as one of the top, you know, Super Bowl winning teams, one of the top teams. DVOA, still to this day, ranks the 91 Skins as the greatest team in NFL history. So there you go. All right. I do, at some point, want to talk about the French Open yesterday. I know tennis talk isn't necessarily a needle mover anywhere in sports talk radio. I did not watch all of it, but I watched enough of it to get a flavor for what turned out to be one of the greatest Grand Slam finals in tennis history. I think we've said that so many times, you know, over the last 15 to 20 years, you know, from, I mean, how many incredible finals did Nadal and Federer and Djokovic and Nadal, and we've just had so many of those over the years, in recent years, without Americans obviously being involved. But, you know, Alcaraz rallying from two sets down, not only two sets down, three championship championship points in set four down to win was an epic, for sure. They're still talking about it 5 hours and 29 minutes. I'll start, though, really with last night's NBA Finals Game 2. And I'll tell you why here in a moment. The Thunder, based on further review, as in the two-minute referee report, were completely robbed of Game 1. So last night you saw what you didn't see in Game 1. You saw the Thunder execute offensively. It wasn't that they turned Indiana over nearly as much as they did in Game 1. Their defense was still at times suffocating. But unlike 25 turnovers in Game 1, the Pacers had 15 last night. Unlike the 14 total steals in Game 1, Oklahoma City did have 10 in Game 2. But points off of turnovers for Oklahoma City was more of that one-to-one advantage. They had 14 points on 15 turnovers. Still not, you know, what their average has been, which is somewhere between a point to a point and a half off of each turnover. Of course, it was dreadful in Game 1. It was 11 points off of 25 turnovers. But they were able to make turnovers and their defense turn into more offense. But I just thought their offense in general, when they had to run half-court offense, was just much better. And clearly, they shot it much better. 49% from the field, 39% from behind the arc. They got to the free throw line and made 29 of 33. I have been saying, going back to the early portion of the second round, that this is the best team. And I think that this team's going to prevail here. Now, Game 3 Wednesday night's going to be awesome to watch, for sure, because it's a huge game. Like, Indiana, I kind of feel like Indiana almost has to get Game 3, or it could be, you know, a shorter series, which is what I predicted. But there are a couple of things from last night's game that really stood out, in addition to Oklahoma City just being calmer, smoother, more patient offensively. I love the way they ran the high screen and roll for SGA much higher up on the floor, closer to half court than, say, the three-point line, in part because once you spread the floor that much and he splits it with the dribble, or he'll get a good screen and go hard around the defender, even on a switch, there's just so much downhill ability. There's so much space to attack. And he made all of the right decisions last night. I know he had 38 in Game 1, and I said after Game 1, I didn't think he played anywhere near his best. You know, it didn't just sort of deal with the game-winning shot, or the shot that would have put him up three towards the end that he missed. I just didn't think it was an efficient performance. Last night, he was efficient. He was a great decision maker last night, and still got 34 points on far fewer shot attempts. I mean, basically a third less on the shot attempts. I think he had 30 shot attempts in Game 1, and he was 11 of 21 last night. He got to the free throw line over and over again. He had 8 assists last night as he, basically made the defense collapse around him, and he had 4 steals defensively. Last night was much different, I thought, for Jalen Williams, although I still think he is, I think he is, he's tight. He's trying to force it too much, but he is their second star, if you will, along with Chet Holmgren. He had a terrible game one. He was better last night. Still wasn't great, though. He's got to be better on the road, Jalen Williams does. But what last night was about as much as anything for OKC was 38 points off the bench from Alex Caruso, who got 20, and Hia Terp, Aaron Wiggins, off the bench with 18 in 21 minutes. Wiggins was 5 of 8 from behind the arc. So excited to see Aaron Wiggins all season long. He had a 40-point output this year. He went off in a couple of games off the bench. He did. And it's interesting to watch Oklahoma City because their bench is so deep, but it's not always, you know, the guy you expect it to be. I mean, during this postseason, we've seen the other Jalen Williams. We've seen, obviously, well, Hartenstein wasn't coming off the bench before this series. We've seen Caruso. We've seen Isaiah Joe. We've seen Cason Wallace when he hasn't been in the starting lineup. You know, it can be somebody that didn't even play much in the previous game. Aaron Wiggins has not gotten a whole hell of a lot of run in the postseason. There are a couple of games where he barely even saw the floor. But to be ready like he was for a game two that they had to have, he was a massive difference maker. Came out right from the jump, confident, drove the ball, banked one in, and then was super confident shooting the three. Aaron Wiggins was a terrific player on Maryland's 2020 team, which won the Big Ten regular season title, shared in the Big Ten conference title. Okay. I do remember that. For those of you who will remind me via Twitter, if I just say Maryland won the outright Big Ten title, they didn't. They shared in the Big Ten title in 2020. And then we had COVID shut down everything postseason-wise. Wiggins was a significant part of that 2020 Big Ten title team and would have been a big star moving forward with Anthony Cowan and Jalen Stick-Smith in the tournament. He was coming off the bench for a lot of it as well. He was outstanding. Ended up being a second round pick of OKC in 2021 and has played well. I mean, 26 years old. I mean, it's amazing how fast time flies, but he's in his fourth year. He's already gotten a contract extension and he averaged 12 points off the bench this year. He was crucial last night. And then one final point on the game last night. You just can't, I'm sorry, you can't call Tyrese Haliburton a superstar when there are too many nights like last night where he's invisible for too much of the game. He was invisible at times in game one. We've seen this from Tyrese Haliburton. Yes, he's going to go down for this postseason as having produced one of the all-time clutch postseasons in NBA playoff history. And the game one shot was big. He had 17 last night, but 12 were in the fourth quarter with the game decided, basically. The difference between last night and Thursday night is the lead was consistently 16 to 23, not 10, not 8 to or 6 to 15. You know, they didn't really have a chance. I mean, I wasn't counting them out because you can't count them out now. But Tyrese Halliburton's had too many of these games, too many of them. I mean, you go back through just this postseason, all right? Game three against the Cavs, he had 4 points on just eight shot attempts. In game four against Cleveland, he had just 11 points on 8 shot attempts. He had 8 points on just 7 shot attempts in game five against the Knicks. The other night, he had 14 and 10 and 6, and he played a well-rounded game. And yeah, the defense is focused on him, but that's where you separate, you know, star players from superstar players. You know, guys who are in the top 15 to top 20 from guys who are legitimate top 5 guys. He's not that. Even with all of the drama in the postseason he's produced at the end of games, you can't go missing as a scorer in the NBA Finals for 40 of the 48 minutes if you're a true superstar. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander may be, you know, a guy that hasn't closed out games consistently in the postseason. That's true. He's missed some big shots towards the end of games. But as, you know, Rick Carlisle said last night, this guy, you just pencil in for the 30-plus. That's what he's going to get because he's a true superstar. You can't stop him from getting what he wants to get. You can stop Tyrese Halliburton. I think he's a really good player. I think he's a star player and his clutch factor at the end of games. And I think the Athletic poll that came out earlier in the year that where the players voted him the most overrated player in the league, they did, for those of you who didn't know. I think that that's a little bit much because I don't think he's overrated. But to put him, to try to force him into that category of true elite superstar is way premature. And nights like last night are case in point and proof. You just can't, you can't be missing as a scorer for basically three quarters of the game if you're a true superstar. And that's what he was. He had 5 points going into the fourth quarter, and they were down, you know, 20 or whatever it was at the end of the third quarter. All right, game three on Wednesday night back in Indianapolis, and that should be a scene, man. It should be an incredible scene. So I mentioned that something came out after the show on Friday that was quite amazing when you consider the ramifications on game one. I'm shocked that this didn't get more attention. I'll explain it when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. And by the way, you can watch us on our YouTube channel.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of resolve did you guys show about yourselves after the first game?
I don't think it's anything more complicated than what I said before. Like, basketball is it's a game of ups and downs. The season's full of ups and downs. The series is full of ups and downs. And it's about the team that can stay level-headed and get better throughout the experiences and can come out on top. And that's our goal, get better through every experience. And we did that last game. We got to repeat for game three.
That was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, the MVP of the NBA this year. One of the things that has struck me about watching Oklahoma City during this postseason, and he was on with Scott last night after the game, and he was excellent with Scott. I've yet to see anybody from Oklahoma City interviewed, and they're a very young team, that isn't impressive in that setting. As an interview, Chet Holmgren is thoughtful. SGA is. Jalen Williams, incredibly smart and thoughtful. Hartenstein, Caruso, Aaron Wiggins was on with Scott last night after the game. They're just, I don't know if you've noticed that Max, or not, but I'm not saying that like I'm super shocked, but you don't always see NBA players, you know, athletes in general, really any sport, be, as a team, just solid as interviews. All of these guys seem mature beyond their years. That's what I've noticed, anyway, from afar. Have you noticed that or not?
A little bit. And you can kind of see it, I mean, here, especially for a local tie-in. But, like, that's kind of what we've gotten Jaden. Like, it's just that that consistency, that not letting the moment get to you type thing. And they're just calm, collected, focused on the next task at hand, and then they take care of it.
All right. Something came out over the weekend. I guess it was late Friday. I didn't see it until probably yesterday, maybe the day before. Game one, if you recall, ended with a possession that Oklahoma City had where SGA missed a shot at the end, up one. Indiana did not call a timeout, and they went down and Halliburton hit a 18 to 20-foot shot with 0.3 seconds left. What prompted all of that was with 22.1 seconds left, there was sort of a scramble for the ball. It went out of bounds with Pascal Siakam and I forget who the Oklahoma City player was that was involved in it. And the Pacers challenged the call. They were hoping that either the possession would be overturned and Indiana would be given the ball, or there would be a post review foul called on Oklahoma City. But none of that stood, and Oklahoma City retained possession of the ball. However, they retained possession of the ball with the wrong amount of time on the shot clock. The shot clock should have completely reset to 24 seconds with 22.1 seconds left on the game clock, but it reset to 14 because in the moment they deemed that there was not a change of possession. Well, the 2-minute report after the game wrote the following. Replay review of the out of bounds called on Siakam pursuant to a coach's challenge was deemed unsuccessful. Siakam gains control of the ball and his body, and this is the key. Siakam gains control of the ball and his body touches on the sideline, resulting in an out of bounds violation. Prior to this, there is no foul proximate to the play as Siakam and Wallace, Cason Wallace, come together pursuing the rebound and the contact is deemed incidental. What they did not add to this was, by describing the play as Siakam gaining control of the ball before he goes out of bounds, that's a total reset of the shot clock. Oklahoma City should have had the ball up one with 24 seconds left on the clock, but really the clock turned off at that point because there were only 22 and a half seconds left in the game. Which meant that Indiana would have had they would have needed a steal to regain possession, or they would have had to foul. Now, it's possible that Oklahoma City goes to the free throw line and misses one out of two, and Halliburton hits a shot, and we go to overtime. It's possible they miss both, and they hit a shot and still win 111-110. It's possible that they make both, and Indiana hits a three to tie it, and they end up winning the game in overtime. But the Thunder were robbed of a possession that they did not have to shoot during. Amazing to me that more about this was not made a big deal out of before last night's game. Maybe they mentioned it. I didn't see it. I saw a lot of it on social media, but not a lot. There wasn't like a headline anywhere that said Oklahoma City should have had possession of the basketball in game one with the shot clock turned off versus it being at 14 seconds. That's a massive difference maker in a game, clearly. But once Siakam gained control of the ball, meaning Indiana gained control of the ball, which is written in the post-game two-minute report by the referees, that is a resetting of the shot clock. Period. Anyway. Want to talk some tennis here for a moment?
It was insane yesterday. I don't know how much you watched, but I was watching since like the second set. So I kind of locked in and before I knew it, my whole Sunday was gone.
I had a couple of friends of mine who are big into tennis, and I used to be really big into tennis. I love tennis, kind of grew up with tennis. And I just haven't been much of a fan over the last decade or so. My favorite player to watch by far over the last, you know, 20 years, and the matches that I wouldn't miss, the big matches anyway, I found Serena to be the most compelling watch. And I was a huge Serena Williams fan. But anyway, yesterday at Roland Garros, the place in which the French Open takes place in Paris, just outside Paris. I've never been to a French Open. I've been to Roland Garros, though. I've driven by it when I've been in Paris before, and it looks lovely. I would love to go. I've been to Wimbledon, been to the U.S. Open, never been to the French Open. In this final men's match, by the way, congrats to Coco Gauff.
Yes.
She won the women's final on Saturday morning. I did watch a lot of that. And really rooting hard for her. She became the first American woman to win the French Open in 10 years. The last win for an American woman. We know that the American men haven't won a major in forever. The last major overall was Roddick back in 2003 in the U.S. Open. But anyway, Coco Gauff outlasted Sabalenka in three sets to become the first American to win the French Open since Serena did it in 2015. But yesterday, Carlos Alcaraz down two sets to none. And I mean, you know, being handled by number one in the world, Jannik Sinner, who, let's face it, Jannik Sinner has a bit of a checkered past here. For those of you, a lot of you probably don't even know who Jannik Sinner is. He's an Italian 23-year-old tennis player who's ranked number one currently in the world. He's won two majors already in 2024. Last year, he won the Australian Open and he won the U.S. Open. And then he got to his first French Open final last year. But there's been controversy associated with Jannik Sinner's career, including, performance enhancing drugs, which he was suspended for back in 2023. I believe. And, you know, there's been some skepticism over his play. Now, you know, testing is what it is in tennis, and they have missed out on many over the years. But Jannik Sinner has a bit of a sketchy background. With that said, man, does he move well. He really moves well. Ian is a big tennis person. Ian played tennis at Northwestern. Ian would be able to sort of describe Jannik Sinner's game much better than I. But in watching him over the last few years, he really has incredible movement on the court. Anyway, he is dominating Alcaraz on his way to a French Open title. He was up 5-3 in the fourth set after losing the third set and had three triple match points in the fourth set, but couldn't get it done. Alcaraz broke back, ended up winning the fourth set in a tiebreaker. And then they went to a fifth set that was crazy. You had Sinner down a break. He broke back. They went to a tiebreaker in the Grand Slam finals now. The tiebreakers are 10-point tiebreakers. So the first to 10 wins, and Alcaraz blew him out in the tiebreaker. That was really the only part of the match that wasn't great because it was very anticlimactic because he jumped out to a 7-0 lead in the tiebreaker and ended up winning it easily 10-2. So Carlos Alcaraz becomes a five-time major winner now at just 22 years old. But the match itself was decided in 5 hours and 29 minutes. It's the longest French Open men's final in the Open era. and the second longest men's Grand Slam final of all time. Now, I used to love tennis, as I mentioned. I did not commit to 5 hours and 29 minutes. I just can't do that. I mean, I can commit to a 2 hour and 40 minute women's final, 5 hours and 29 minutes, no matter how compelling the drama is. And it is. Tennis, when you get into these exhausting, you know, long match epics where the players are, you know, physically barely hanging on, which was not the case in yesterday's final. But imagine that sort of a final in Flushing Meadow in early September at 94 degrees with ridiculous humidity. You know, we've seen some of those going back to some of those Sampras matches in the 90s where he was throwing up into flower beds. Those were great. But one of the things that I think is interesting about this era of tennis, or maybe the era that just completed, the Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, you know, throwing Murray era, is that it seems like we've had so many of these matches. So I pulled up just a list of some of the great matches. For me, the 1980 Wimbledon final between Bjorg and McEnroe, 18-16 fourth set tiebreaker that McEnroe won to force a fifth set, one of the greatest tiebreakers, one of the most dramatic tiebreakers of all time. He lost 8-6 in the fifth and then came back to beat Borg in the U.S. Open later that year and then finally won Wimbledon in 81, knocked out Borg in the U.S. Open final in 81, and then Borg at 26 years old, shockingly retired. And one of the great rivalries that was still sort of in its infancy was halted before it could ever really grow into what would have been perhaps one of the great sports rivalries of all time. I mean, people still remember Borg-McEnroe as a great rivalry, but it was a very short-lived rivalry. But that, to me, was... That Wimbledon final in 1980 was so memorable for me. I just remember how riveting it was, how great the tennis was. Like, these were not, you know, games and tiebreakers decided by errors. They were decided by winners. And that's what people seem to really be grasping to about yesterday's French Open final, as this was not a poorly played, decided by errors kind of a final. It was a 5 hour, 29 minute thriller with one winner after another, and at the most pressure packed moments. There were incredible rallies. There was incredible drama, edge of the seat kind of stuff throughout. It's hard to have that for 5 hours and 29 minutes, because you can have in these long epic tennis matches a stretch of, you know, it's bad tennis even though it's close. But man, it seems like we get these all the time. And I went back and just found a list of like the greatest matches of all time. And they're all in like the last 17 years. Nadal beating Federer 9-7 in the fifth at Wimbledon. Djokovic taking out Nadal in 2012 in the Australian Open final, 7-5 in the fifth. The longest match ever played was a Wimbledon match in 2010. Of course, this was before the tiebreaker rule in the fifth set. But John Isner defeated Nicolas Mahut 70-68 in the fifth set. That was spread out over a couple of days, 3 days, in fact. The match in total was 11-plus hours. Nadal's incredible comeback just a few years ago at the Australian Open against Medvedev. The Federer's 16-14 in the fifth in 2009 at Wimbledon over Roddick. I mean, it just seems like a lot of these matches have happened in the last 17 years. And look, this is the greatest tennis era of all time. It's, you know, hard to say that because there hasn't been as much attention paid towards it in this country because there wasn't an American male, you know, that was winning any of these majors. You know, since 2003, when Andy Roddick won the U.S. Open, it's just been dominated by Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. I mean, it's not even close as to the greatest era in the history of men's tennis. Djokovic has 24 majors. Nadal's got 22 majors. Federer's got 20. I mean, the era that preceded their era, the Sampras, you know, Becker, Courier, Agassi era. Sampras had 14. Djokovic has 24. Nadal, 22. Federer, 20. They have a combined 66 majors. Men's tennis, the greatest era, it's not debatable, is the Nadal-Fed Djokovic era. And who knows, maybe with Alcaraz, we're entering some sort of new era. He's got five already at the age of 22. But, yeah, I mean, you go back into the Connors and the Borg and the McEnroe, you know, eras, and you look at their titles, and it's like, you know, McEnroe, as great as he was, and I consider McEnroe to be, in terms of talent, maybe the most gifted player. He only has seven majors. Now, it's because of the way he took care of himself. He didn't practice. He got into all sorts of shenanigans, you know, in the 80s and then into the 90s. Yeah, the Lendl, Connors, McEnroe, Borg era was great. Doesn't even come close. It's a fraction of what this last era has produced. Not to mention the women's era with Serena and Venus, et cetera, over the last 18 to 20-plus years. Anyway, I certainly caught the last hour of yesterday's match, and it was thrilling. And Alcaraz is something else, man. He is. Tennis. There you go, for 15 minutes. Some rankings are out per Pro Football Focus. We're going to get to the quarterbacks being ranked entering the 2025 season. At 11, Tyler Biadasz, Washington's starting center, will be our guest. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
All right, the DC Defenders have won the XFL Conference Championship. To advance to the UFL Championship, they will play the Michigan Panthers on Sunday. The Oklahoma City Thunder show off their depth with a commanding 123-107 win over the Pacers to even the series. The Thunder had five players to score 15 or more points. The Nick Chubb saga continues. He will be paying a visit to the Houston Texans to potentially join Joe Mixon in the backfield. The Packers are releasing two-time Pro Bowl corner Jair Alexander, and Carlos Alcaraz defeated Yannick Sinner in an epic French Open final that lasted nearly 5.5 hours, the longest since 1982. And the Nats, they fall 4-2 to the Rangers. They're off tonight. They'll take on the Mets tomorrow on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, this is for those of you, and I don't think the list is very long, that think that Angel Reese has been as much of a draw for the WNBA or has had some level of responsibility for the boom of the WNBA last year. So I completely disagree with that. I think this is one of the easiest things to measure of all time. There's been one person responsible for the increased popularity of the WNBA, one person responsible for a season in which the WNBA finally made money for the first time in 27 years. And that reason, of course, is Caitlin Clark. Well, over the weekend, Chicago was slated to play the Indiana Fever, which they did. But Caitlin Clark's been injured, and she's been out of the Indiana Fever lineup. And the game, which was scheduled for 7 p.m. Local time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday night, had been moved in anticipation of another, you know, Caitlin Clark game, or if you want to bill it, Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese in that continued rivalry. The game had been moved from the Wintrust Arena, which is the Chicago Sky's normal home, to the United Center, where the Bulls play, in anticipation of Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese. The game did, you know, long ago sell a lot of tickets in advance of this. The tickets on the aftermarket for this game fell to $3. You could get into this game with no Caitlin Clark playing in it for $3. I have a feeling if you walked confidently through the turnstile, smiled and said what's up to somebody, they probably wouldn't have asked you for your ticket. That's how little demand there was to see a game between the Sky and the Fever with no Caitlin Clark involved. All due respect to Angel Reese, she plays hard. She misses a lot of shots, apparently. I don't watch any of her games, all due respect, because she plays hard every time I watch her against Caitlin Clark. She's apparently got more rebounds in her career already than points, and she's a hell of a rebounder. Sometimes rebounding her own miss 3 to 4 times, Moses Malone style. Yeah, I mean, come on. For those of you still hanging on delusionally to they had two superstars enter the league and they're both super responsible, or the rivalry is, no, there's one needle mover and it's Caitlin Clark. She is the Tiger Woods of the WNBA and has been for a year now. And without her involved in these games, there's zero interest, no matter who else is playing in the game. Not zero interest, but the interest is reduced significantly. All right, so there are a lot of things that came out over the weekend because it is list season, ranking season. The quarterbacks came out, PFF ranked the quarterbacks, tiered them out over the weekend. We will get to that on the show today, I promise you. Patrick sent me a link to Roto World, part of NBC Sports, I believe, ranking the NFL general managers heading into 2025. So where was Adam Peters? Where was Let Him Cook, Adam Peters? Where was playing chess, everybody else playing checkers, Adam Peters on this list? It's a list. It's an opinion. We understand that, but it's nice to just kind of see and read from some of these over the weekend. So Howie Roseman was number one. Andy Reid, Brett Veach combo in Kansas City was number two. Les Snead, Sean McVay combo in L.A., number three. Eric DaCosta in Baltimore, four. Brian Gutekunst, Green Bay, five. Brad Holmes, Detroit, six. Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, seven. San Francisco, this is where about you'd start to think about seeing Adam Peters, right? Nope. Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott, Buffalo, John Schneider in Seattle, 9, and Jason Licht in Tampa Bay, 10. So Patrick wrote, Kevin, don't you think Peters deserves to be among the top 10 general managers in the NFL? I can name three from this list that he should be ahead of based on what he's done in the year and a half. And he listed Schneider, he listed Shanahan Lynch, and he listed actually Brad Holmes as three that he thought. Look, I'm not going to get into which he should be ahead of and which he shouldn't be. But I have no problem at this point with Adam Peters not being on a top 10 general manager list. People, Jaden Daniels was selected number 2 overall, and sure, he could have picked Drake May. He could have gone J.J. McCarthy. Many of you wanted to see May or McCarthy. Many of you wanted a trade back, you know, and not to select a young quarterback. But he made the right selection. He did, clearly, in Jaden Daniels. And getting that right has masked anything that may have been questionable during the year and a half. Look, overall, I think Adam Peters and his front office have done a terrific job. And it starts with, you know, getting the right head coach. Let's not forget that. That's a big part of what Adam Peters was tasked with. He needed to find the right head coach. And I think even after one season, I don't think we're ever going to look back on the selection of Dan Quinn and then the associated staff that he brought with him and say that that was really a bad decision. You know, I guess the quarterback could get injured and they could go 6-11 and then 7-10 with another injury. I mean, it's football. Things happen. But that's pretty much what it would take for them not to be a competitive team for the next few years. I mean, in many ways, they're basically two moves Adam Peters has made that just are so far and ahead more important than all of the others added up together. And that is right head coach and the right move at number 2 in his first draft, getting and landing on the best quarterback. But, you know, Daniels was largely responsible for 12-5, 2 road playoff wins, and the first NFC Championship appearance since 1991. You know, right now, there are certain picks and there are certain trades that are very much TBD. Wouldn't you say the Marshawn Lattimore trade at this point is TBD? I would. Wouldn't you say that the selections or the trade back with Philadelphia, where Philadelphia got Cooper DeJean and Washington got Sanristil and Sinnott, don't you think that's kind of a TBD at this point? I mean, Sinnott needs to be a guy that really produces, because DeJean and Sanristil both had tremendous rookie seasons. By the way, I read something the other day that said that the Eagles are considering moving Cooper DeJean to safety. He's just a football player, as Scott McLuhan would say. And I love Sanristil, don't get me wrong. Sanristil has a chance to be a great player as well. But, you know, there are still some questions out there. By the way, you know where he was ranked? 11th. That's not bad. That seems right. One season, getting Jaden at the top of a draft with number 2, you know, a pick that I think 3/4 of the league would have made in that situation. I like some of the things he's done. I think we're going to love the Tunsil trade. I think there's a chance we're going to love the Debo trade. But the Lattimore trade is still questionable. The not adding, you know, more to the defensive front from certainly a pass rushing standpoint seems a little bit questionable right now. You can't do everything, understood, but he was 11th. That seems right to me. I mean, I guess, you know, going down the top 10, I mean, Howie Roseman has clearly been, you know, we don't need the Jahan Dotson trade. It certainly looks like Washington won that trade. Okay, but Philadelphia may have won the draft day trade in 2024. But, you know, Philly and Kansas City and what LA's been doing, what Baltimore always does, you know, Gutekunst and the way, you know, the whole Rodgers thing was handled, that was a little bit, you know, odd. I think Brad Holmes, they've done an excellent job in Detroit. Look, Detroit's injuries killed them more than anything else. Their injuries to their defense last year is what really derailed them. You know, Lynch and Shanahan have been largely hits over misses, even though some of the misses have been big. The job Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean have done in Buffalo has been outstanding. Schneider's always been one of the best. Jason Licht has done a phenomenal job, including, you know, the coaching staffs and OC hires. Nothing wrong with Adam Peters being 11th on this list after one season in which the number one reason, runaway reason, for their success on the field was one draft choice, number two overall, Jaden Daniels. And again, let me emphasize, I do get it. I know that some of you people out there didn't want them to draft Jaden Daniels. I would say, you know, it was kind of a third thought that, you know, a trade back and build it up and go to the quarterback store in 2 or 3 years and just pluck one out of the store, which a lot of you were very much in favor of. And I say a lot of you, about a third. I think a third, you know, we're into other quarterbacks. If it can't be Caleb, then let's trade back. Or if it's Caleb one, let's go J.J. McCarthy. Let's go. A lot of you were into Drake May. And by the way, you know, those quarterbacks are super talented too. And then I would say certainly a third to 40% were, by the time we got to the draft, we're all on board with Jaden. But that was a process to get up to 40 to 50% by draft day in favor of the pick. Because I had to deal, and all of us had to deal, with the trade back idea. Whew. Thank God they didn't do that. And then again, thank God they didn't trade for Deshaun Watson when I wanted them to trade for Deshaun Watson back in 2022. Tyler Biadasz will be my guest next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.